Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Night Shadows. I'm Stuart Best, where the paranormal is normal, where that which you thought you knew, you didn't, and where the future can be known if you know exactly where to look.
Well, good evening, everyone, and thanks for tuning in and listening. And we have an update here tonight with Larry. And a lot of stuff going on around the planet, and I don't think too much of it actually is really good news, but it all does seem to fit into this puzzle that we call prophecy, and especially prophecies of the end times. And anyway, hi Larry, how are you doing?
Hey Stuart, thanks for having me.
Well, where do we want to start? Why don't we look, let's start at North Korea. We always seem to get involved in it one way or another. That doesn't sound too good. Was it General, how does he pronounce his name? Mantis?
Mattis.
Mattis? He made some really rather, I would say, chilling remarks. What's your take, and what did he actually say? Do you remember?
I really, off the top of my head, don't. I listened to a report today of Trump after meeting with the president of South Korea, Moon, and he talked. You know, he basically announced that the time for diplomacy was over, and he was going to use what he called a determined response. Now, what does that mean? I cannot tell you, but it doesn't sound like diplomacy particularly.
Yeah, well, Mattis said something about the that the war plans or plans for North Korea were, I guess you could say, finalized. And if you couple that with what Trump said, we got to act quickly, and then what he said, diplomacy's over, and you know they really nailed China on some of these banks and stopping the flow of money. So we're kind of in not only a trade war with the world. You know, this is interesting because NOAA is that ne'er-do-well erstwhile Native American lady said that we would enter a period of time where there would be monetary wars and trade wars with all the nations as we approach the end. And it appears that that's actually taking place right now. But is there any clue as to what Trump actually has in mind?
I don't think.
I mean, obviously
really
we have the two carriers groups.
Yeah, I don't think anybody really knows exactly except his inner circle what he's got in mind. What's interesting, though, is Deb Kapile posted today that Kissinger and Mattis were laying bridges for the Trump-Putin talks on a diplomatic frame. And, of course, Deb Kapile also reported that Trump is scheduled to meet Putin for the first time at the G20 summit in Hamburg next week. And the Kremlin also put out a report, Putin and Trump to meet on the sidelines of the G20 summit. And the left and the deep state is about to go totally insane because they're giving all kind of threats that Trump cannot meet with Putin and have dialogue with Putin because there's an investigation into Russia and an investigation about Trump. And, you know, all kind of baloney. And they're really against, Stuart, today I've heard some of them, really against Trump meeting with Putin on the sidelines. In other words, out of their eyes and ears where they can't see and hear. They're about to lose their minds over this. So I think somehow Korea probably is tied in to what Putin and Trump are about to talk about. And of course, what would listen, Stuart, what would happen to the Great War if suddenly Trump and Putin had dialogue and came to an agreement?
Well, I think this is the bottom line of the whole thing. They have to have their World War III, or they can't really bring in their new world order. I suppose they could if they created maybe an economic collapse here around the world. And we have heard more and more rumors about a financial reset, which could be devastating to the American people. And they're floating, I'll get into it later, but they're floating some concept of a new form of currency. It's like Bitcoin currency. It's all digital, probably not backed by anything, as usual, for the dollar. But this one fellow pointed out that they're going to an alternative form of digital currency in many, many different nations, and they're doing it very, very quietly. So it's going to get very, very interesting. Getting back, though, to the G20, the deep state has to have their war. This is what this is all about. Demonize Putin so that they can have their war. Provoke him. Poke him in the ribs. Get him to do something. And the folly of all that is that biblical prophecy says it's better not to kick a sleeping dog because he might rise up to bite you. And if we read our prophecies correctly, Ezekiel 38:39, and I firmly believe that's Russia and her allies, that bids ill for the United States. Because if you go into that prophecy carefully, that's when we are taken out, when Gog Magog have tackled or gone into the land of Israel, and they're on the mountains of Israel. It says that Gog has an evil thought, and I will go up to the land of the unwalled villages, to them that are at rest, to take a prey. And if you follow the different prophecies, that's the United States of America. So provoking Putin and getting their world war is kind of a dumb thing. And I just can't imagine why they want the American people to be crawling out of nuclear destroyed cities, because that's what's coming. Been a lot of people have seen the taking of the United States by in vision. In fact, one of the more famous ones was that fellow that was up in the Empire State Building looking out. You know, they have those eyeglasses so you could look out and see the Statue of Liberty. And that's where he saw the Statue of Liberty in the Gulf. And a very tragic vision for the United States, but wholly accurate as far as the scriptures go. So this would not be good if they delay it. It wouldn't be for the deep state anyway. It'd be great for the American people, but not for the deep state. So they're claiming that Trump can't go there for the G20 because why? He's under investigation? That's ridiculous. Comey said he wasn't personally under investigation. So is this all brand new now?
Well, it's the same old story. Russia, Russia, Russia. You know, it's been Russia from the beginning, you know. And, you know, of course, Obama knew about it all along. And, of course, Obama's already trying to set up some way he can make a comeback. And, you know, all of these are in the works. There were Democrats today talking about, because of Trump's tweet, you know, they were going to bring him down. He needed to resign from office today. And I'm thinking, you know, from what I've watched over the last year or two of the Democrats, the establishment Republicans, and the deep state, you know, and what I've seen in your hearts for the American people, You think I'm worried about a tweet from Trump? You know?
It's ridiculous, actually. They attack him unmercifully, day in, day out. In fact, as far as I'm concerned, they're guilty of sedition, and they're guilty of attempting to overthrow a legitimate president of the United States. And they're just very lucky that Trump hasn't declared martial law, rounding them up and sending them to North Korea to have a good look at what it's like to live in a dictatorship. I can guarantee you, if they spent 1 month, if they lived through it, in a North Korean gulag, all these mainstream media people, they'd have a big, big change in attitude, big change in their heart, if they survived it. Most of them wouldn't.
Well, yeah, or on their return, they couldn't think clearly, like Otto Warmbier.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they killed him, basically, sent him home dead, basically. And,
yes.
You know, even the Torah codes points that clearly out. I mean, it just lays it out. Of course, they don't care about Otto. They don't, you know. The trouble is, Stuart, the American people need to realize there is no American government. This is a socialist, communist dictatorship, deep state. That's exactly the mindset of the deep state. And what we're watching is Trump versus everyone. It's almost like Trump against the world. It's really ironic. And the American people, Art Bell had it right. They are just too damn lazy to get off the couch to change the channel when they're watching something they don't even like.
Yes. Yeah. I remember he said that back, what was it, 1999 when I was on with him. I thought that was kind of funny. But he was right. That's exactly what it is. And I don't think the people realize either. You do not negotiate with a communist. A communist viewpoint is very simple. You're either a communist or you're dead, one or the other. Peace to a communist means there isn't anybody else around that is not a communist. And the American people don't realize that. So when they're saying that, you know, the far left, you can't negotiate with these people. There isn't any negotiation. They don't want to negotiate. They have one thing in mind: winning. That's it. You either win or you're dead, one or the other. And this is a fight to the death. And I don't think the American people realize that, but if they read their Bibles, they probably would get to that point. I don't know. And I suppose it's even more than just a communist revolution, because if you go into the book of Revelation and you see this beast power that has the feet of a bear, the body of a leopard, and the head of a lion, then you can piece together what this really is. I think what they're doing, I think the New World Order is taking the very most brutal aspects of the communist, which is the feet, that's the foundation of this whole thing, is Soviet communism. And then you have the leopard, and that's fascism, and a little bit of Islam rolled into it. People really should look up the coupling of fascism and Islam. It's very, very interesting what you'll find out. Then you have the head of the lion, and that's Cecil Rhodes and Fabian Socialism. Cecil Rhodes of England. And this is what we're dealing with. This is what we are facing. And the book of Revelation tells you that this is the new world order forming right under our face. And the American people are so apostate biblically, including probably 99% of the Christians, I hate to say that, but I think it's true, have no clue at all as to what's happening all around them. And, of course, here's Donald coming along saying, we're going to make America great again. And I was reading your book that you sent up, and I really appreciate you sending it up. the Trump prophecies. And I got to be honest, I hope, I pray he's right, but I don't see it. To me, it contradicts an awful lot of scripture, ton of scripture. But I'm not going to say anything more than that. I hope he is right. I pray he's right. And I would love to see that he is right and that we have a little bit longer time to rescue the apostates. But I don't know. What do you think?
Well, it's kind of interesting. Darnett had sent me something she was reading in the Bible the other day, the book of Ezra, chapter 1. And let me read a couple of paragraphs here real quick, scripture. It says, okay. Now in the first year of Cyrus, the king of Persia, almost 70 years after the first Jewish captives were taken into Babylon, that the word of the Lord by the mouth of Jeremiah might begin to be accomplished. The Lord stirred up the spirit of Cyrus, king of Persia, so that he made a proclamation. That's important. He made a proclamation throughout all of his kingdom and put it also in writing, Jeremiah 29:10-14. Thus saith King Cyrus of Persia, the Lord God of heaven has given me all the kingdoms of the earth, and he has charged me to build him a house at Jerusalem in Judah. Now, I thought of that, Spirit, and I thought, what did Trump say when he was running for president? Immediately, almost, he was declaring that it was time to build a temple in Jerusalem and to move the U.S. embassy to Jerusalem, and that it's time for Israel to be Israel over that land. And, you know, of course, troubles have came and problems has arose, and he hadn't got that accomplished. But I thought interesting in the book of Ezra, chapter 1, Cyrus made that declaration, and we look down through history, and Donald Trump made a similar declaration, and no matter what he does in America, you know, no matter what he does, I think in the back of his mind, the main function he has, the main command he has or feels like is to do something in Israel and Jerusalem. And that's where I'm beginning to think this this pivot coming in September the 23rd, 2017, is going to point. And of course, if you look at Cyrus and you look at what at the end of Cyrus' reign over Babylon, there was no more Babylon. And people are all thinking it's going to make Babylon great again. Cyrus didn't come to make Babylon great again, and it never was great again, period. You can put a great period at the end of that. So today, I kind of find it ironic. We have wishful thinking that Donald Trump coming as a Cyrus is going to make Babylon great again. And I have to put that on the shelf, Stuart, for the moment, because I'm not too sure that's what's going to happen in the end. But I have to biblically believe that if he came and even made the proclamation similar to what Cyrus made, backed up by even the crazy bots and even all the Torah codes embedded before we were ever born, much before, you know, we see what's happening. We don't want to agree with it, maybe, but we see what's happening. And with that, I'll ask your opinion on this. Drudge Report posted today, their headline was, Summer of Crazy Begins in the USA for 2017. What do you think?
Yeah, that'd be the American summer. When the left pulls out the stops, what they're going to do is go from rhetoric to violence. And Donald Trump is going to have to decide what he's going to do about it. And I got a feeling I already know. Martial law. And this is going to get extremely interesting. If you look at the prophecies of Jeremiah, which I have to apply against this fellow that wrote this Trump prophecies, what does Jeremiah say? He says that there is ruler against ruler, right? And then he says violence in the land. And then he says that the enemies hit us. and they hit us hard from all directions. Well, why wouldn't they? I mean, if we're stumbling and we're falling, if I was Putin and if I was China, I'd hit us. I would hit us without mercy, which is predominantly what the Bible does say, that America is taken down without any mercy whatsoever. And I liken this. You remember Terry Schiavo?
Oh, yes.
All right. You know, they starved her to death. And that went all the way up to Bush, President Bush. And nobody would reach out a hand to save her. And most of the American people would not either. And so she was terminated by the law. And I had a vision about that. I'm not asking anybody to believe it came from the Lord, but I'll tell you what I saw. I was taken to Florida, to the courthouse, a courthouse. I don't know what courthouse it was. And I'm standing there looking at the courthouse, and this man comes out, and he goes, thumbs down. And I started to bawl like a baby. And there were all kinds of people standing around. And they came over to me, and they said, why are you crying? And I said, I don't really know. But it was so deep, it was from the Holy Spirit, I found out later, that he was crying for America, because that was a sign that Jesus Christ is going to judge America the same way President Bush judged Terry Schiavo, by the law. If the Lord judged America by the law, we would, and without mercy, we would have been terminated a long time ago. It's only his mercy and his compassion that has not allowed the full this American people to be destroyed. And I know absolutely that that's what that was all about. And it was a hideous thing there's a grieving in the Holy Spirit. I'm sure you know about it. Most people don't. It's much, much deeper than anything you can even describe.
Yeah.
It's really deep. And it's a grieving. It's a sorrow, sorrow of the Lord against the people of America. He's going to destroy this nation from one end to the other. I don't know how long it's going to take or when it's even going to start, but I am, like you are, very suspicious that there is a pivot point coming up real close with that 9/23 date. And the American people are not going to like it. And I wish this guy on the Trump prophecies was correct. I would pray he's correct. I just don't see it, because we already have Jeremiah's prophecy going into full swing. We have ruler against ruler like we've never, ever seen before at the highest levels. And if American summer comes in like they're saying they're going to do, then we will have violence in the land and revolution. And then we go down. So I guess everybody should pray that this guy's vision is true and that we have another 10 or 20 years left. Because according to what he says, America is going to be not only great again, it's going America and Israel are going to be top-notch. You know, the great leaders of the entire world. Well, what happened to Jacob's trouble? What happened to Daniel's 70th week? I don't know. What do you think? End of sermon.
Well, I was, I had forgot about Terry Schiavo, but I remember that now. And you remember the singer in the UK that came out and blowed them away with that song? It was like,
oh yes, that was another sign. Yes. That was a definite sign, like Terry Schiavo. Terry Schiavo, if you remember, nobody knew who she was. But before she died, the whole world knew who she was. When Susan Boyle stepped out at at Britain's Got Talent, nobody knew who she was. And they laughed at her and said she was, you know, a frumpy old lady. So she cuts loose with this song that brought tears to millions of people all around the world. And the song she sang was, "I Had a Dream. It's the dream of humanity. But the tigers come along at night and they steal the dream away." And basically destroy humanity. And that's exactly what Satan does. Everybody born has a dream. That's what you dream. You dream about being a police officer. You dream about this. You dream about that. But the tiger comes along eventually and steals it all away. But what's interesting about Susan Boyle is the tag she had on her. It was a countdown tag. She appeared on, I believe it was 9/23/2009. That's the date she came out and sang that song. The tag started with 4/3/2/1/0.
Yeah.
5 years. 2014. And 2014 is a key date because of how it all aligns up with 1,260 days to the 9/23/2017 date. And it's very, very interesting. Let me read part of Psalm 90 to you. I get accused of reading the Bible backwards. Well, that's a fib, but nevertheless, I'm going to read Psalm 90, verse 13, 12, and 11, and 10. I'm going to read them in that sequence. "Return, O Lord, how long? And let it repent thee concerning thy servants. So teach us, verse 12, to number our days, that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom. Verse 11, who knoweth the power of thine anger? Even according to thy fear, so is thy wrath. Verse 10, they get their answer. The days of our years are 70 years. 60 plus 10 equals 70. And if by reason of strength they be 80 years, yet is their strength labor and sorrow, for it is soon cut off, and we fly away." So I began to research that, and I thought, I wonder if there's any date actually listed in the Bible. And there is. The 20th and the fourth day of the ninth month, the exact day Allenby retook Jerusalem in 1917. Exact day. Not by accident. 70 years later, guess what happens? They enter the first intifada on the exact day as specified in the scriptures. December 9th.
Wow.
And it was December 9th when Allenby retook Jerusalem without even firing a shot, by the way, which is exact fulfillment of biblical prophecy. So it says 80 years would be 1997. Then it says we have a period called soon. And then we fly away. Well, how soon is soon? Well, if you go into the numbers, I think it's 20 years. Guess when 20 years shows up? This year. The number 20 means redemption. It means we fly away. And we have all of these other things that are dovetailing actually into the 2017 date. And I've noticed that there's a lot of gainsayers out there. They're claiming that the star sign's been seen a number of times. It appears every 11 years, and what are they calling that? It's a nothing burger? And so don't pay any attention to it. Guess what? There are some pretty sharp kids out there who have all these astronomical software so they can plot this out. All the dates that they have given where they say this is identical and therefore we shouldn't be paying any attention to it. Well, I copied all those star charts, and they are liars, flat, simple, they are lying. This sign is utterly, the others are similar. Similar is not exact. It has to be exact to Revelation 12. 9/23, 2017 is exact. And so I'm telling people not to pay much attention to the gainsayers. I'm not telling you there's a rapture coming. I don't know what this means. I have my suspicions. And one of them is we are approaching Daniel's 70th week, which would coincide with some of the comments made in the Trump prophecies that he is going to be the American leader that takes us into that period of time, Daniel's 70th week, just like Netanyahu. What do you think? End of sermon number two.
I think that's really telling, and I had forgot 9/23 with Susan Boyle, that date, because isn't that ironic that apparently that date, 9/23, projected down through time that there would be another 9/23 with what Stan Dale says will be the greatest star sign ever. And I had forgot that connection. Matter of fact, I hadn't heard anything out of Susan Boyle in a while until you talked about Terry Schiavo, then I thought about Susan Boyle, and it all seems to tie together.
Yeah, it does. When the Lord gives signs, most people don't see them at all. I got into a lot of trouble with other prophetic people when I told them about Terry Schiavo and put it on the website. I was stretching. I was lying. I don't understand things. That I understood very well. But there was another sign that was given to the American people. It was written up in the papers of the two eagles that fought over Duluth Airport and crashed. Crashing and burning, basically. And when I saw that, instantly I thought about the House of Representatives and the Senate fighting to the death, actually, crashing and burning, which is exactly what Isaiah says happens to the United States government. They get so involved in fighting each other, they don't see the enemies crawling around. So there's an implosion within the United States, which may lead to, your friend over there in Norway, Johansson, and his seeing that America was splitting up, and Russian scientists who, what was it, 10, maybe 4 years ago, gave that paper where he said America was going to split up into four or five different regions.
That's right.
And that's part of the implosion of the United States. That's part of the breakup and the downfall.
But, talking about that, I've often wondered, and I know you have too, is as all of this subversion, as you call it, and that's very true, that's exactly what's happening. You know, they can call it free speech, they can call it all this baloney they want to, but us older people, you know, we remember, and we know what subversion really is, and we know what coups are, and we know we've watched our nation through the CIA and others implement coups all over the world, and from what I've heard from people around the world, they say this is how the U.S. did the coup in our country. It's the same M.O., the same method of operation that they're using in America right now, you know, the same coup. And, you know, Stuart, I had... you and I both have wondered why Trump seems to be so cool-headed with everyone around him bringing him down if they could. And it can only, you know, you can only maybe understand that he knows something we don't. And I do know, I was in the military. I know what martial law is. And I often wondered, you know, recently with all of this subversion by all of these liberal judges that keep suing and suing, and even though the Supreme Court held up his so-called travel ban, Hawaii now is filing a suit anyway against him, regardless of the Supreme Court. And I thought, how can these judicial people keep subverting the presidency or the executive branch? And, you know, I got to thinking, Stuart, if on, you know, the very day that he does declare martial law, they will have no power. All their power will be removed from all of them, including Congress.
I don't see he's got much choice. I really don't. He can't do anything unless he does declare martial law. And why is, you know, getting back to some of this other stuff. Oh, before we leave the star sign, I wanted to read something for everybody. This is from an ancient Sibyl prophecy. And I'm not asking people to believe it, but I want you to put your thinking caps on, because remember the star sign to the Christian and what it means to them is far different than what it means to the occult forces of the world. This is of the occult. So I'm going to say, now is come the last age of Qumran's song. The great line of the centuries begins anew. Huh, that sounds like Old World Order versus New World Order, doesn't it, Larry? Okay, so now it says, now the Virgin returns. The reign of Saturn returns. Now that is very deep, occult, nasty, evil stuff. Saturn. You can tell it by the name. Now a new generation descends from heaven on high. Only do you, pure Lucina, smile on the birth of the child, which is obviously the child of Revelation 12, under whom the iron brood shall at last cease and a golden race springs up throughout the world. Your own Apollo now is king. Now, do you understand, people, why CERN is such a concern about Apollo and all of these things that are rising up everywhere around the world? This is coming to pass. It's a return. So the question is it return on 9/23? What do you think, Larry?
I find that interesting. Something, yeah, I sent you, I don't know if you had a chance to listen to it yet, Anthony Patch, DVD,
yes,
talking about really tying CERN in with Saturn. In other words, CERN concerned,
yep,
with Saturn, and how he likened the 2001 Space Odyssey movie with those cubes with something on Saturn, and at the same time talked about a new D-Wave, and I don't know if, you know, you saw any of that yet, but the
yes,
D-Wave computers, which are multidimensional, he says.
Yes. Yeah, and you know what it looks like? The black rock of Mecca.
Oh, that's right.
It's, yeah, they're tying all this together. They are, and people are sound asleep. I would advise everyone listening, you don't want to be sound asleep. You really want to be alert. And if you've got any preparations to do so you can slide through some of this mess that's coming, better do it now. Getting on to some of the other news, Obamacare, I guess they've stalled that, haven't they? They're not going to really do anything about it.
Yeah, they've stalled it, which does appear to be, have been the plan all along. And Trump has came out now, and I don't know if you saw the latest tweet, but he tweeted that if they just simply wasn't going to make a new replacement of Obamacare or a new health care, why don't they just repeal Obamacare, and in a year or so they just start over? So, but you know, they're resistant. This is a resistance. This is deep state resistance. Everything he wants to do to help America, they don't want.
Yes, exactly. They not only don't want it, they hate any concept like it. But folks out there, I don't know if you ever read it, but there's a report And I found it in a government at a university, and it was in government documents. It's the report from Iron Mountain. And I did several, three videos on it, I guess. Obamacare is right out of Iron Mountain. It's all about socialized medicine and total control over you. This is all going to tie back into this financial economic reset with a new form of digital currency. Now, it may take a little while for them to do it, or it could occur overnight. But when this reset occurs, they will have total control over you. And it's going to lead exactly where the book of Revelation says it leads, to a mark in your right hand, and if you're an amputee, in your forehead. And, of course, if you don't have a head, they don't worry about it. So that's the way that's going to work. Now, we don't exactly know what this mark of the beast actually is, whether it's invisible ink or computer chip or whatever it is. But this is the plan, and they've been working on it for a long, long time. So any comments on that, Larry? I think we're getting primed for the whole thing.
Oh, absolutely. And Richard Shaw and others are watching very closely. You know, they're talking about a global financial reset that seems to be, there seems to be some rumors in the wind that this is coming. And, of course, we know right now there's been a lot of cyber attacks, and they're beginning to think that these cyber attacks, instead of trying to tie up people's computers and get a little bit of money, you know, $200-$300 or whatever, they're beginning to think now that this is a plan, really to, it's a test run to see how they can subvert the internet and move the financials around. And you know, Stuart, you know, you remember a bad guy named Snowden? Snowden. What a revelation.
Well, the deep state doesn't want to be revealed. That's one of the reasons they hate the Bible. And they really hate Bible prophecy, which is why the FEMA and all that group came out. I think it was the FBI that released a report many years ago. What was the name of that? Project Megiddo. And in that report, they really pointed a finger right to Christians. And at the time, I wrote an article and posted it on my website long ago, that was. Pointed out that this was a shot across the bow to the Christians. They don't like Christians, and they don't like Christian prophecy because it identifies who they are. And so if they can keep the people of the world quiet and ignorant and apostate, which is what their total plan is, that's why your giants, for example, when somebody digs up a giant that's 35 feet tall, those bones vanish almost immediately. Why? Because it proves Genesis. They don't want any proof that the Bible is actually real or true, because they'd be done. That's why they hate it. And that's why the persecution of the Christians, which, by the way, is rising fairly rapidly even in this country. Don't you think?
Oh, absolutely. And what's interesting, I don't know if you got to the back of that book, The Trump Prophecies, yet, but Mark Taylor really slams the 501c3. And if you look back now from where that started, you can see that the 501c3 absolutely shut the mouth of the American church.
Yes. Except for those pastors that had, you know, the bravery to go ahead and just say what they wanted. Anyway, and a lot of them dropped out of the 501c3, so that they, you know, weren't controlled by it. But yeah, they've made it, the government does not like Christians. I don't care what they say. And Trump may be the exception to it all, but you remember what Obama was doing to the Christians in the military.
Sure.
He hated Christians. There was no question about it.
I was just going to say and get your comment. what we're looking at, one more time, we'll repeat it. It's a Psalm 2 war.
Absolutely. The kings of the earth and the rulers gather themselves together against the Lord and his anointed, saying, let us cast their bands from us, their cords from us. And towards the end of Psalm 2, though, it does make this comment, kiss the Son, ye rulers, lest he be angry and you perish from the way. Well, then we had Comet Ison. Remember Ison?
Yes.
Kissing the Sun? And
I,
now
I
with
remember
his star
that.
Sign, Regulus is the king, I guess the king of kings, you could almost say. God the Father, I guess some people would ascribe Regulus to. Every one of those planets, Venus, Mars, and Mercury, kiss Regulus as that star sign aligns itself up. And what's really amazing is that Mercury goes by Regulus, the big star, and then turns around and comes back and kisses Regulus. It's amazing.
Huh.
You got all these little things going on that really prove that this thing does mean something. I don't know exactly what it means. It could mean rapture. It may not have anything to do with the rapture. In fact, we could go by, the 923 and visually on Earth see no change at all. But I'm telling you, there is a big pivot point coming, and it's all going to go back to Israel. And this is why Trump is in office. This is why God picked Trump. Also very interesting, his name is Trump. The last Trump. It's got stuff written all over it. And I think people have heard so many times, it's here, it's here, it's here, and then nothing happens. They're very, very skeptical. And you should be very skeptical. But I think as we approach this, we're going to find out what it means and exactly what it means as we get there. But we are definitely entering into Daniel's 70th week here in a very short time. What else you got, Larry?
Well, I told my wife, Darnette, the other day, I said, she says, I've really had a burden for Donald Trump, said, I've really been praying for him. And I told her, I said, you should be praying for him. I says, Donald J. Trump. And you have the same initials, DJT. And my wife and Donald Trump has the same initials. Isn't that ironic?
It is. Yeah, and all the 777s that are showing up as well. I don't know. It's all coming together. Oh, and I wanted to bring this up, too. Remember we mentioned that proposal in Oregon? I got somebody sent this in. Let me read it to you. I agree with your timeline, Stuart. Regarding the law being proposed in Oregon, it has far-reaching ramifications. Remember that I was asked if I was mentally ill when I went to the Washington State DMV. Depending on how you answer that question, and I doubt he had legal right to even do so, this can start a serious chain reaction that winds up, as you mentioned, with you being processed into fertilizer. Soylent Green, of course. It's here now, but it is hidden. In this state, it doesn't even take a law unless it's there, but it was hidden, tacked on to something else that was passed in our legislature. But we need to look at the bigger picture. The dragon, the military, is in control. That is why we hire ex-military as cops, if we can, and why innocent people are murdered by them. And that's basically it. But so we do have confirmation that that Oregon law, by the way, that says if you are mentally, you can be declared mentally ill if you have dementia, or you have some problems. Now, the latest psychiatric manual that was released basically declared that if you're alive, you're mentally ill. This is right out of communist Russia.
Yeah.
Under Stalin. If you didn't agree with communism, you were mentally ill. So into the gulag you went. And I think we're moving in that direction. What do you think about that?
Oh, it just kind of reminds me of that old movie, Solid Green. I haven't seen that in years, but, boy, they had a point. I was going to ask you, too, Stuart, you know, you're talking about 923 and the pivot point and this star sign, and at the same time, there's been some more individuals coming out indicating that possibly, and I think Marshall Masters and a number of people are saying they believe that this the sun is hiding the twin, the nemesis, the Nibiru, whatever, X, et cetera, and it should be coming out behind the sun very soon. And I'm wondering if that's going to begin to show up after this star sign. And I wanted to comment, you know, I'd watched, drug out that old 1951 movie, When Worlds Collide. And that's
yes.
an old movie, by the way. And I watched it again, and it's in color now. Now, it came out originally black and white, but when they colorized it, I got to looking at the two incoming that comes in to trouble the Earth, and one of them, called Zyra, is blue in color. It's a blue planet, and it accompanies the bigger one that is red, like a red dwarf. And actually, I got, you know, looked on the cover of the movie, and it looks like the red dwarf coming towards Earth, and I was thinking, it seemed to click. You know, the blue Kachina, the red Kachina, as the Native Americans called it, Hopi, I guess.
Yes.
And it all seems to begin to fit, you know, back in the 40s and 50s, they apparently had some of this information already, because even the description and coloration of something like an old movie, When Worlds Collide, has the same type scenario of what we're seeing today, and understanding is inbound.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of people poo-poo Nibiru, and they poo-poo, of course, Nemesis. And where is it, they say? Where is it? Nobody can see it. And some of the things that are on YouTube, I think, are, you know, probably spoofs put out there by Deep State to confuse everybody. But sooner or later, yeah, it is going to appear. And the timing of it, as I understand it, it speeds up, it slows down, it does this, it does that. Now, if you go into the Book of the Colburn, and it talks about the last time this thing came through, the conditions right now across the globe are identical to what it was long, long ago. And it says that there are many, many signs, but that mankind does not understand the signs until it's too late. And, of course, it is too late anyway, because if, you know, if the Earth is to basically go into spasms, as even the Book of Enoch says it will, in the early part, and it's basically volcanism that destroys the planet along with humongous earthquakes. And it comes upon the world basically unsuspecting. They don't really realize what all of this, these signs that we're seeing right now, actually mean. And these are the precursor signs, and they're everywhere. Talking about that, I was watching something about a prophecy some guy had about Yellowstone. And this guy on the Trump prophecies says something about Yellowstone's going to blow. And it's supposed to be not a huge, it's a warning sign, I guess. A great sign, he calls it. So we'll just have to watch and see. But what do we got? Over 1,000 earthquakes at Yellowstone, and nobody's talking about it.
Yeah, that's very true. The Dayos are covering it pretty closely and talking about it. Of course, others are saying, don't worry about Yellowstone. Look to the West Coast for trouble. And but yes, you know, Stan Dale was one of the first ones that indicated they had removed the seismograph readings, you know, from the ability to locate them and for the public to view them. And they were viewing it from off-site. And he told us about that. Another thing he told us, too, which is very interesting, you remember we had him on a show some years ago, and Stan, you know, when we were talking about when he was saying you know, he wasn't too sure about this destroyer thing or Planet X, you remember when he was the very first one, when we asked him about, you know, an incoming of any kind, he says, I'm calculating something. He said, but it seems to be speeding up and slowing down, and I'm having trouble with my calculations. Remember that? And that was a long time ago.
That was a long time ago, yeah. And he also warned about the sun.
Yeah.
That he felt the sun was going to get quite erratic. And I wrote him some time ago about the 3 days of darkness, you know, in the Roman Catholic prophecies. And,
yeah.
Well, the sun could, of course, go berserk. It could go out, blink out, I suppose, for a little while. Or it could be one of the Nemesis's planets. Remember when Jesus Christ was crucified, there was a 3-hour eclipse. Well, the longest eclipse, if it's a lunar eclipse, is only 7 minutes or just a few seconds after that. This was 3 hours. So the concept is that this was one of the planetary bodies, a swing through, that blocked the sun for 3 full hours, and therefore that'll probably happen again.
You know, to talk about that, I was just going to mention, Stuart, you know, I know a lot of people may think, well, you know, that doesn't even sound reasonable. But let me ask this question. I read a book recently about the moon and how ironic it is that where the moon is placed beside the Earth, it's exactly the right size to give a full eclipse of the sun to the Earth for minutes, like 3 minutes maybe, and so yeah, that, you know, that could you know, depending on where another object is, and the position, something like that could happen.
Yeah, it's fascinating. Without the moon, scientists have said there probably wouldn't be any life on Earth anyway. The moon is one of the keys to survival here on this planet, and how did it get there? Because the Lord put it there. That's how it got there. But, you know, people just can't believe the power of the Lord. You look around and you don't see the Lord, but if you're really looking, you can see everything about his creation. In fact, I ran into a little girl. I'll close with this. She's 8 years old, and I asked her, what are your favorite subjects? This is just a couple days ago. And she said, mathematics and science. And I said, well, you know, those are wonderful subjects. And science tells you all about how the Lord created everything that you see. They're unlocking how all of this was put together. She looked at me and she says, well, you can't talk about God and you can't talk about Jesus Christ. My teachers can't use those names, because if they use those names, they're going to be arrested and put in jail. Now, this is a private school, 8-year-old girl, and that's what they're teaching them. Well, I guess my comment is better that you had a millstone tied around your neck and thrown into the ocean than to offend one of these little ones. I guess it's totally illegal now, and teachers are scared to even mention those names. That's where we are right now. And this is a well-known private school that's all over the nation. So if it's in the private schools, guess what? It's in the public schools as well. It's sad, and I guess there's nothing we can do. Well, any last closing comments? We got about 20 seconds.
Oh, I just want to encourage people to keep a watch this weekend and through the July the 4th holiday, watching the Middle East, watching North Korea, and watching America.
Okay, thanks a lot for listening, everybody. And heads up, yeah, for 4th of July, maybe they're going to start this thing. Anyway, good night.